You're at your old trusty boat. You call Mighty Sparrow. I'm in the city of Mardi Gras.
Welcome to the Sailing Into Oblivion podcast. I'm your host, Jerome Rand.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. First show of 2024. Holy cow. I feel like it was the 90s, like 10 seconds ago. This is insane. Early bird show. It's about 6 a.m. or so, and up here in Michigan still, but only for a couple of days. It's time to hit the friendly skies and then go hit the not-so-friendly ocean. That's at least according to the weather. We'll probably get into a little bit of that, a little bit of a few other updates and things. And yeah, that's about it for the show today. It should be pretty fun. Yeah, like I said, we got this trip coming up, Jacksonville down to Puerto Rico. And the Atlantic has been wild. So we're going to dive into some of that and some of the strategies that we're kind of looking at, and then a few updates here and there, and a little mental health check as well. A lot of decisions to be made and all that sort of stuff as we hop over into the new year. So, but before we start the show, I'm going to keep it real, real short in 2024. We're going to try and do this in under a minute. If you feel like becoming part of the Patreon family who supports the show and keeps it ad-free and keeps it going, follow the link in the description. We've also got the merch line out there with shirts and hoodies, all discounted prices now. We've got the second of the children's book has come out on Amazon. It should be available in a day or two. And if you want to contact the show, sailingintooblivion.com. Follow the podcast button and contact the show. Those go directly to me. Love hearing from everybody. And big shout out to all the people who sort of gave me the old Christmas bonus, so to speak. You know who you are. Really, really appreciate it via PayPal and Venmo. Those links are in there as well. All right, done. Woo! I'm trying to always get that. Get the whole plug thing out of the way as fast as I can this year. That's going to be the new game plan. I think the most important thing is just thanking people that contribute to the show, because that's huge. It's absolutely huge, and I really do appreciate it. But on to the weather. Holy cow. I've got windy. So when I'm land-based, I'm pretty much always looking at windy. They give you the European model, the American model, all that sort of stuff. And like right now, I'm looking at a gale that north to south, it goes from basically Nova Scotia down to the Bahamas and takes up pretty much an area. It's absolutely massive. Takes up a quarter or half of the Atlantic Ocean. It's just massive. It's a wintertime storm. This is the sort of stuff that Kretschmer dreams about at night, I think. And yeah, it's the stuff of nightmares for me. Yikes. I sometimes look at this and I picture what it would actually be like in that situation, you know, in some of these areas. Oh my gosh. This one, let's see. The projected medium speed would be 46 knots. So that's like a force 9 severe gale. And that's not even gusts. Let's go to gusts. Oh, gusts up into the 60s. Nice. Love a good 60-knot gust. Oh, 65. Wow. Oh, no thank you. Ay. All right, so we're going back just to the regular wind. So our schedule is essentially to head out flying on the 8th and then trying to look for a window right around the 10th to depart. And we're on a Tiana 37, so we're estimating, you know, 120, 160 miles a day, depending. I don't really have any specifics on that. I just know that it's a little bit bigger than Sparrow, and I know what Sparrow can do. And Sparrow's one of the slowest old girls around. So, you know, we could easily do 130, 140 miles in a day if we have the wind. But yeah, essentially, the game plan, if you haven't heard about it before, is to go from Jacksonville, Florida, out to about 65 degrees longitude, and then straight down south towards Puerto Rico. And it's essentially, it's about like 900 miles or so to get out, and then another 800 miles to get down. So you're looking at like a 10 to 12 day trip, less if you get like perfect breeze, but you know, kind of count on that. And there's variables when it comes to that. You know, ideally you find yourself in some westerlies and some northerlies, and then, you know, maybe some southerlies as a low pressure system kind of slowly moves off into the northeast, and you kind of just ride that pretty much due east, and you try and curtail the temptation to start edging your way to the south too early, because typically, even if you have the best forecast in the world, it can somehow, those trades will sneak up on you, and you'll be like north of Turks and Caicos, and all of a sudden huge easterlies hit you, and you're beating your way back into the teeth of a nice 20 knot trade wind for what then can all of a sudden be days, and it's pretty miserable. Oh, the power of coffee, delicious. So we don't want to do that. Ooh, I gotta stop putting that down in there. All right. So yeah, essentially looking at the forecast, and now it's still 5 days out. Is the 10th, our, you know, preferred launch date. And so a lot can change, and a lot will change. That's something to always realize. So right now we're just plotting and planning. We're just keeping an eye on the weather. We'll see what's happening. But by the 10th, end of day, we're seeing a pretty sizable system. It actually starts to really spring up in that area on the 9th. So the day after I get there, and that may just end up being a complete wash, super windy conditions and rain and all that sort of stuff. But then generally, like they do at this time of year, they blow out to the northeast pretty quick. And by end of day Wednesday, it's westerlies, and they're starting to really lighten up. And the nice part about this one is it's all westerlies. So for those heading offshore following one of these things, you can count on, you know, not having a huge crazy sea state that's built up, because the winds have all been offshore. So at least for the first day or so, you're pretty good. But then we get kind of light conditions, really light conditions the following day. So that'd be essentially just motoring. And then we start to get a nice little southerly. And the southerly's not bad. We'd probably be out past the Gulf Stream at that point. We get a little bit of a boost kick on the 12th. Nothing too gnarly, but definitely could see some winds up in the 20s and 30s. But it's all out of the south and then the west again. And that's like, oh, it's ideally what you're looking for. Now, at this point, we're like 7 days out on this forecast, so it's really hard to judge. Like that system could blow up into something we don't want to deal with, or it could peter out into something, you know, that doesn't even happen. But then they're calling for, after that, essentially to get a little crazy, looks like northerlies coming in, which, you know, wouldn't be too bad. It'd be cold, but I think it's just too far out. But that's that sort of typical kind of pattern. And if that were to sort of come to fruition, that'd be pretty good. I mean, if we were able to leave on the 11th early, catch that breeze, that'd be 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Pretty much 3 days of good wind. You know, you're looking at 400 miles, so you're getting pretty far out there. Almost halfway to the point where you can start making that turn south. But then, yeah, the sort of forever doldrums patch, if you will, or the Bermuda High, if you want to call it that, just south of Bermuda, in between the variables and the actual trades. That's the other sort of sticky situation, because you're trying not to, you know, spend 5 days motoring just to try and reach the trades. But it's all kind of dependent on these big systems going up and back and up and back. So I don't know, pretty crazy. It's looking pretty good though. I'm not going to get too excited about it. Like I said, it's pretty far out, but that would be pretty awesome to just catch the tail edge of this thing and then rip as far as we could, a little bit of motoring, keep on pushing, get that southerly push for a day or two, get way out there, and then have it switch to the north for a bit. Oh, excuse me. And yeah, we'll just sort of have to play that by ear. But I've been talking with the captain. Shout out Ryan. I know he's probably going to listen to this episode. Super stoked. And it's kind of funny. We were talking the other day, and you know, as any boat owner knows, before you're about to head off on a trip of this sort of magnitude, it's a pretty nerve-wracking experience when it's your boat, you're in charge, you're taking other people on board with you. I remember when I took Bojangles, my AT buddy, on that trip from Beaufort, South Carolina up to Maine back in, oh, that had to have been 2019 or something. I can't even remember. Or maybe it was 2020. And that one was one where I just, you know, I had a lot more on my mind because I had another human being that I was responsible for. So everything had to be, you know, kind of double checked, you know, compared to my normal routine. I believe is pretty thorough for sure. But there is that feeling where you've gotten to a certain point and you've done the thing so many times, it's sort of wash, rinse, and repeat, which is never a good thing, I don't think, on a boat. But it is one of those things that does happen after you've done so many trips and so many, you know, you've done the route a bunch of times. It's kind of like, all right, well, let's just get this going. But yeah, you throw another person in there and all of a sudden you're like full on captain. You're not solo sailor captain, you know, only risking your own soul out there. You're in charge of somebody else. There's almost like a legality to it of you are responsible, so you better act like it. And not that I'm trying to, I don't want Ryan to feel too worried, because hey, that's what I'm coming along for, to ease that pressure right there. That's what my hope is. But no, I mean, when you're sitting there and you're trying to get all these projects done and the days keep ticking away, and the worst is when you have like your list that you think is complete of all these things that you need to do, and so it's tangible, you can see it, you're looking at it, and you're sort of like, all right, well, I'm gonna get that done and that done today, and then, you know, and then the scary thing is when other things start coming up out of the blue that you didn't realize, and you're just like, oh my gosh, now we gotta find time to do that and this, and that can be pretty nerve-wracking. But the nice part is, and the thing you always have to remember, is that, you know, you don't leave until you're ready. And, you know, we'll have a few of us down there to help out and get everything sorted on the boat before we go. And we'll wait for the good weather. There's no rush. Like if we get to a point and we're like, man, no, these things need to be done, well, then we're just going to do them. We're not cowboys here. There's no race. There's no first place medal to get down to Puerto Rico by a certain date. We just want to get down there safe, sound, and with the boat in great working order. So that is the game plan. Oh, let me just pause right now real quick. Whew, had to blow the old schnoz there. Holy smokes. Sort of thought I picked something up at the old Rose Bowl party. Obviously, Michigan has been in a glowing frenzy of excitement for that game, but it was pretty exciting to watch, especially with a bunch of Michigan fans, because holy cow, that was an exciting game. It was a really exciting game. But the last thing you want to do before you hop on somebody else's boat is come down there with a cold or something like that. So trying to do everything right, stay a little healthy, get a bunch of sleep. And on that note, I must say my back is feeling great. I don't know if it's the position I've been sleeping in or these different exercises that I've been doing, but today, and once I finish this pod, I'm going to go and hit the treadmill. I'm back to running in the mornings, and we're starting out slow, only like a mile or so at pretty soft speed, but I haven't been able to run since essentially December of 2022, and that's a whole year off for me, and it's just absolutely been, it's been tough to sort of not have that little mental boost, that attitude boost, the I don't know, some people call it like the runner's high or whatever, but I think there's just a there's a mental benefit whenever you do get any sort of exercise. And when you do it for a lot of years, like I had, mostly pretty much my entire 30s, without much of a pause, you get so used to it. And then when it gets cut off, holy cow, it's detrimental. I mean, like everything just kind of looks different. And especially my body, when I look in the mirror, it's like the saddest thing ever. But yeah, today's going to be day 4, or no, I think day 5 maybe, of getting on the treadmill and not being in pain. Like it, the back's a little tight. I'm going to see the chiropractor today for a last little adjustment, but I'm hoping that he's going to be like, dude, you are getting straightened out and you're doing it on your own. Because I haven't seen him since I was here before, which was like a month ago or something. And yeah, it's just, like, I don't want to even jinx it by talking about it. It's one of those things where that pain was so, it's a pinched sciatic nerve, probably got some bulging discs and all that sort of stuff. Oh, it just takes you out. And, you know, you guys have heard me sort of yarn on about this enough, so I don't want to get too much into it, but it's like a game changer living in pain all the time, day after day. And to finally be sort of coming out of that. And, you know, this summer I had that opportunity and I was so busy. Just thought, you know, when I have more time, then I'll start doing, you know, going running and working out and all that sort of stuff. And I know that with a lot of injuries and things like that, a huge part of the, you know, coming out of it is building sort of that core strength. And I had the opportunity and I didn't do it. And I think that's what inevitably led to me re-injuring and going back into the world of hurt, where you can't stand up straight and you can't walk for very long without being in pretty substantial pain. So I'm actually just I'm stoked and I'm sticking to my little routine. It's not a huge long thing. It takes about 45 minutes total. Do it every day. I think yesterday I ran for 10 minutes and I think I'm going to go for about 12 or 15 today. Ideally, if I could just get up to about 20, that's all I really like to do. I like to do enough so that I start sweating and I sweat for about 10, 12, 15 minutes and then call that good. I'm not in it to go and run, you know, 5-6 miles, but the ability to do this has been absolutely epic. So fingers crossed we can keep that going and we don't get tossed around on this boat so much that, you know, something else happens. It is a bit of a concern, though, because obviously you still want to be able to do some sort of exercises while you're out on the boat. And that's not the easiest thing to do. Though, at the same time, when I say that, it is pretty easy to do just basic stuff. You know, there's plenty of times where you're sitting up on watch in the middle of the night, not doing anything, and you're just kind of sitting there. And those are the times where, you know, you got like 3 hours or something, and the boat's rocking and rolling, and you're just sailing away, but nothing really has to be done. Well, that's time, you know, where you can do those you can do planks and you can do push-ups and you can do, I don't know, all sorts. There's a lot of little things that you can do, even just little leg raises and stuff while you're sitting in the cockpit, just to sort of keep everything kind of up to pace. Because, boy, we do sit. We sit a lot on boats when we're out at sea. I mean, there's a lot of laying around and there's a lot of sitting. There's not a lot of standing, and obviously there's not any running unless you're on some giant boat. But it's one of those things you do have to sort of consider, and it's one of those where I look at it like this. You don't have any excuse not to do it because you got plenty of time. And that's one of those things where you got to kind of kick your own butt into motion and not give in to that little piece of your brain that's like, dude, no, you don't need to do it. Just, you're fine. Just go make another cup of coffee. It'll be fine. So it's always important to try and get into that. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Other nice parts about this one, it does look like we're going to have Starlink. So get to check that out, amongst other things. Cape Horn wind vane, get to see how that works, all that sort of stuff. But the cool part about the Starlink will be hopefully be able to do some updates and some posts from out at sea, you know, out on like either Instagram or throw them up on the old YouTube shorts or something like that. And, you know, just be able to, I don't know how the data plan works and all that. We'll have to figure that out, but could be pretty cool. Could be pretty neat to have like a little daily update from your old pal, J-Rome, on this voyage. I haven't really been doing much on any of that social media stuff as of late, because I just I was just kind of like sick of it, to tell you the truth. I've been pushing so hard for years now on all that stuff, and I'm not very good at it. And though some of the platforms have grown, they're not, you know, they're not really. It's one of those things where I want some just fresh material. I want to share my experiences, and if I am not going out to sea for a month, then yeah, you know what? I don't think it's all that important to keep posting stuff from like all my old trips and all that, unless I come across something that's all of a sudden real inspiring or something. I don't know. So, in any event, yeah, hopefully we'll be boosting some of that stuff up and have some fresh material. It'll be great to see this boat. I'm really looking forward to it. Tiana 37 is supposed to be a very beautiful boat. A bit bigger than I'm normally, you know, on, with Sparrow being 32 feet, but definitely pretty cool. So that's pretty much it at this point. I know it's going to be a bit of a short podcast coming into the year, but you know, I've got some work to do. I've got to get a few other things hunkered down, and I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that I hadn't just fallen off of the face of the earth, and that trying to make some big decisions today about the coming months and how to go about those and use those wisely. I'll update everybody on those while they actually come to a close. But yeah, it looks like we'll be doing this delivery and then hopefully hopping on another boat in February for a little bit, and then it's off to March. So I don't know if I'll end up coming back to Michigan or going to Sparrow. It's still pretty chilly down there where Sparrow is, and living on a boat that's hauled out of the water is cold. You know, there's no insulation on that boat. I got a little tiny heater, but it's not all that fun to be sort of cooped up on that boat. And I know, you know, probably by the time April comes in, it'll be a little bit better, but right now it's just it's freezing. So while I got the opportunity coming up here to Michigan, that's what I will take 9 times out of 10. It's quite lovely to have a nice couch to sleep on. But I guess the only last little bit of news is the holy cow, the children's books, like these things, formatting books on Amazon. I'm gonna go on a little bit of a rant here for a second, just to close this out. Writing these things was great. Seeing them come to fruition with the illustrator has been epic. Like it's really hilarious to get an email with, you know, we just got an email basically last night with all the illustrations for the second book, The Adventure Begins. And so I'm like peeling through them and we go over, correct a couple little things here and there. And then I go to start formatting, and essentially you're using like a Word document, and then you can use that to upload through Amazon's site. It's not that hard, but there's a lot of, you know, there's formatting issues and there's margins and there's bleed and there's all these little things that I don't quite have down. I'm sure by the time I get all six of these done, I'll be pretty much an expert at it. But I'm also trying to put these things out in Kindle and in paperback. And then eventually, once I have all three of the first ones, then I can do a hardcover. But it's like you get it, and then you're reading it. You're trying to look for any errors, all this stuff over and over and over again. And then you put it out there. And they send you an email and they're like, oh, it's live. And then you can look at it and you read like the first sentence and you're like, oh my God, I spelled that word wrong. So you got to go back in and sort of cancel it off. And it just, it's this process where you never know, especially with the hard or the physical book, you never know until you actually have it in your hand what it's going to look like. And I won't be able to see this one until probably I get back from being out on the ocean, which kind of is a bummer, but maybe I'll have somebody buy it and they can report back to me. Not that I can do anything about it if it's not right. And I, you know, the vast majority of it will be, I'm pretty confident in, but yeah, you just get these little tiny mistakes. I mean, the part one or book one took, I think, like four or five tries to get it just right before I was happy with it. And then hopefully the second one's only going to take one or two. And then after that, it'll ease down. But it's just this, the reason I get into it, it's like such a frustrating ordeal to go through, because it's showing you this stuff on the computer screen, but it's not a really great interface and it's not showing you the real, I feel like it could be done so much better by somebody, or they could just have like a real human being. 'Cause I'm pretty sure you're dealing with like AI robots and programs and all that sort of stuff. So it just slows the whole process down. And I don't know, there's tons of YouTube videos about it. If anybody ever thinks that they'd like to do like a children's book, I'd say go for it. Come up with about, you know, 30 or 40 pages of storyline, you know, 5-6 sentences each page. And then if you're an illustrator, if you can draw, go ahead and draw them. If you can't, find somebody who can. And you never know, because, you know, all you have to do is promote it yourself and you'll start selling them. That's for sure. But it's, you know, more than just a money-making thing. It's kind of cool. I was sent quite a few pictures of people's children who are reading the book, and that was really neat. I was pretty stoked by that one. So, you know, like many things, in the end, it's you put the energy in, you work on it, you stick with it, you don't give up, and then, you know, in the end, things finally come into place, and that's how we keep moving, keep that positive mindset. Throw in a dash of exercise now and again, try and get some sleep. And then I think we'll start our way happily into 2024, you know, leading up to this changeover of years, all these decisions. And I don't know, I got weighed down really heavily. And, just, I don't know, I couldn't, shake almost like an anxious feeling. And I don't know why or where that was coming from. I think in some realm of my brain, I'm wondering if the path that I've been on for the last bunch of years is the correct one, and that might be kind of creeping in. But the last bunch of years have been crazy with the world. So we're getting away from that. We're getting back into normal. And I think in the end, one of the thoughts that I really came up with was like, hey, man, you know, you're still going, still pushing the speaking stuff, still doing some sailing, hoping to get back out on Sparrow for another trip. That's a pretty good year. And as we are kind of getting back to normal, yeah, maybe this is the year that things do finally come together and we become fiscally sound. maybe, even though I still need to buy sails. Maybe it'll, I don't know. So I think pushing ahead, podcasts, content, speaking, all that sort of stuff. I'm going to keep on going for another year and we'll see how it goes. The temptation of hanging it all up and just getting a job somewhere has never been as strong as it was over the last few weeks, I must admit. And, you know, we'll have to sort of see. The one nice part, I think, in my life is that I've done so much adventuring. I've done so many different trips. I've gone to so many different countries to work at these kind of exotic jobs and stuff that, you know, if it came to a point where it was like, hey, you know what? You could go and get a pretty good job that gives you health insurance and all that sort of stuff. The things that I scoffed at when I was younger. And I think I made the right decision for the type of person I am. But now hitting the age of 45 pretty soon here, I was kind of like, you know, it don't sound all that bad, that little bit of security, you know, being able to get my own place, all that sort of stuff. But, I don't know, not quite there yet. I still got a few adventures left in me, so, but it's coming. It's definitely coming. I can feel it. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah, we're just going to keep plugging away on the show. I'm going to try and get out at least one a week. That's going to be the schedule going into this year. And hopefully with the Starlink, we'll be able to do the updates actually in real time from out at sea. So the next pod you'll hear is for me down in Jacksonville, Florida. And hopefully it'll be with Captain Ryan. So thanks for listening and enjoy the new year.